For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will find it. Amen. Good morning. Today's lessons are great psychological material for a full-time psychotherapist who happens to be your preacher today. I want to start with a quotation from 2 Samuel. David said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Nathan said to David, "You are the man." "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in my sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite, with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites." David's ego, self-centeredness, has gotten out of bounds. King David thinks he can take whatever he wants, even Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and have Uriah killed by putting him on the front lines in the battle. What is more striking is that David has no remorse, no self-awareness. He seems to be unconscious of his wrongdoing, until Nathan the prophet has the courage to confront King David. And it did take courage, because King David was a very powerful person at that time. David realizes that being out of relationship with God, not living the commandments after all God has done for David, is not his highest self. David chooses to have remorse, as we see in Psalm 32, and come back into relationship to let God be God and David be a human being, king or not. This is the pattern of a true relationship with God, where God is God and we are human beings, not God. A healthy ego, a healthy sense of self, is essential to living fully, to living the abundant life God has for us. What leads us astray or simply stops our spiritual growth is clinging to our identities of ourselves. What leads us astray or simply stops our spiritual growth is clinging to our identities of ourselves. It is so hard for us to let go of our self-made identities. Carl Jung said the first half of life is devoted to forming a healthy ego. The second half is going inward and letting go of it. From our gospel for today. Then turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. This woman has been identified as Mary Magdalene. Some of you know already that Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother, Mary, are my two favorite saints and role models. It is the gift of Ms. Holy Spirit, as Curtis would acknowledge the feminine part of God, that I volunteered to preach today, and that this happens to be the gospel. Because we don't have many gospels about the women who followed and supported Jesus. Thus, I take it as an invitation to set the record straight on Mary Magdalene, whose icon we have at one of the healing stations in the back of the church, an icon of Jesus being at the other station. Mary Magdalene was designated as a prostitute by Pope Gregory the Great in 594 AD in his Easter sermon, relying on some totally faulty Bible study. Pope Gregory preached that all of the Marys in the gospel other than Jesus' mother are the same Mary, the same person, and thus it is clear that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Why else would she have had perfumed ointment? For 1,400 years until the 1960s, Magdalene was identified as a prostitute by the church. You can always find her in art. She is the one with red hair that is uncovered and wearing a red veil. This is what the church did to the apostle, to the apostles. Why? Because Mary Magdalene understood what Jesus was teaching better than any of the other disciples, save his mother. Her relationship with Jesus threatened Peter and the other apostles. Now we have it from real scholars that Magdalene might well have been not only a follower of Jesus, but a disciple of his mother Mary, who was a Nazarene, as was her son. The Nazarenes are a Jewish sect in which women have leadership roles. Jesus' mother may well have been a major teacher during Jesus' childhood. And it may be that all of her disciples and followers were called Mary and wore red veils. This makes sense to me because Jesus was radically inclusive of women. Women funded his work. He debated theology with women. Where did he learn to do that? Now, this may be the first time that you are hearing this, and I don't want you to believe it because I say so, but what I am suggesting is that you trust your experience of Jesus and his life. You trust your knowing, your relationship with Jesus and his life, even when it doesn't match church doctrine. Why? Because it is time. It is time that we begin to trust our own experience of the Gospels. Our own experience of how Jesus' life and teachings informs our life. If, as the UCC Church says, quote, God is still speaking, end quote, God can only be speaking to us through our own experience of God. Mary Magdalene and Jesus' mother are the two who got who Jesus was and what he was teaching. It was Jesus' mother and Mary Magdalene who taught the apostles in the upper room for 50 days after Jesus' death. Several apostles wanted Mary Magdalene to be the leader of Jesus' followers. These are in particular the authors of the Gnostic Gospels, Thomas and Nathanael. But at the time, the whole culture of Judaism and Rome was patriarchal. Peter and Magdalene were the contenders for the leadership. Peter won. It is not the time in their culture for female leaders. Okay, I can accept that. But do we have to make Magdalene a prostitute? Do we have to make Magdalene a prostitute because she really knows what Jesus is saying and teaching and modeling? And she knows it is hard. It is not popular. And most of all, it does not offer a way to build an institution that tells people what to believe about God. If people can know God on their own, why would you need an institution to tell you how to know God, or who God is, or what to believe about God or Jesus? This gospel contrasts with the story of King David, and many say that this gospel should be the first ritual in Holy Week. Mary Magdalene knows Jesus is headed toward death. Does she fight it? Does she have Judas killed to get her way like King David did? No. She lets go of having it her way. She lets go of having it her way and settles into powerlessness. She accepts that she cannot change the course Jesus has chosen. Magdalene weeps and anoints Jesus for burial. Why didn't she fight to get him to save himself? Why didn't Jesus speak up for himself with Pilate? Why? Because that is not Jesus' path. Jesus' path is the path of powerlessness. This is the way of Jesus, folks. This is following Jesus. It is not a power trip. And the truth is, most often, we are powerless to get our way. Knowing our own powerlessness is step one in all the 12-step programs. Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Overworkers Anonymous. Step one, knowing and accepting our powerlessness. Knowing that we are powerless. Knowing that we are powerless is the truth about aging and maturing. Knowing we are powerless is the core of the Serenity Prayer. Quote, help me to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it is what Jesus is talking about. It is what Jesus is modeling as he goes to the cross, not standing up for himself, not fighting for himself with Pilate. As he teaches, she who would save her life will lose it. He who would lose his life will find it. Letting go is the work of our entire lifetimes, right up to letting go into death. Learning to follow Jesus into powerlessness, taking up our cross rather than fighting to get our way. Letting go is the essence of the spiritual experience, the core of all meditative practices. Only when we let go of our idea of ourselves, the identity our egos have created, can we follow our hearts into knowing God's infinite healing grace. The true rich life that Jesus talks about is only found by letting go. It is the ultimate paradox. We tend to think that fulfillment must be wrenched from the world and clung to with a clenched fist. Or we think we have to pursue it. Happiness is only a relationship away. Most of us live through a series of stalls and car wrecks as we slowly learn to embrace this paradox. We who want to get our way in our lives will lose them. And believe me, I know this is hard. I hate powerlessness. I would love to get my way. I, of course, think my ideas are the best. And when I'm really the truest to myself is when I recognize I am powerless. And if I hang out there with Jesus, I'm in good company. Only in letting go of the life we have planned for ourselves, letting go of our agenda, letting go of where we think we should be, can we find what the life that following Jesus offers, a truly abundant life. Amen.